for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lamb are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. And this is what I want to preach on this evening, verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I was doing a lot of vomiting this past Saturday. Got that 24-hour bug, and all day long I threw up and threw up and strained so much, now I've got a hernia and have to go get that repaired. So I had vomiting on my mind. And one time while I was vomiting outside, my dog came over there. And when I saw him coming, I knew most likely what he had in mind: to eat my vomit. And between gagging and suffering and all that, I screamed at that dog, "Get away! Get away! Get out of here!" Sickening. Well, that is a sickening thing to think about. A sickening thing that a dog would throw up and then turn right around and just eat that up. Stuff like that makes me vomit when I see it. I guess I always did have kind of a weak stomach. I never was good when it came to changing baby diapers and all that. I just had a weak stomach. And would start throwing up, you know, when I had to do things like that. But notice what Solomon says here. That a fool, like a dog, will turn right around and eat his own vomit. Now, I believe the vomit spoken of here, as far as the fool is concerned, is the sinfulness of the fool, the wickedness of the fool. Now, I know the Bible teaches us that we're to be careful as far as who we refer to be fools. It's all right for us to repeat what God says. You know, I don't think we ought to take that word fool and just throw it out there. B.A. Baracus on that show, he called everybody a fool, didn't he? And made a lot of money doing that and made a lot of people laugh about that. But we need to be careful about who we call fool. And here in chapter 26, in these 11 verses, God speaks of the fool and the foolishness of their actions, or the foolishness of their sins, and even the unseemliness of their sins. You know, sin is not the disgusting subject that it used to be, at least in the world, as far as the world is concerned. There used to be things that people would try to hide. they just throw all that out there now and laugh and expect everybody to go along with it. Here in one of the verses that we read, we're told that we are not to lift up the fool, not to give honor to the fool. In verse 8, I'll tell you, there's a lot of fools that get a lot of honor in our day and time. Especially you get into entertainment, and there's so many fools that make a fool of themselves and relish even in their sins, and everybody just makes over them like they're the greatest thing that ever happened. Instead of seeing them as for what they are. And I think one of the purposes of verse 11 is for you and I to see sin for what it really is. Yeah. Yeah, my cousin, he's on drugs, and my cousin, he's in the pen because he killed five people. Ha, 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 and just laugh. What's so funny about that? What's so funny about sin? Now, you and I ought to be the last people to laugh about sin. Seeing that our Savior died for all of our sins, taking them upon His holy person, and in His body bearing our sins on the tree, you and I ought to be the last people that laugh about sin. But this old nature that we have, the old Adamic nature, it still has somewhat of a fondness for sin. It still has somewhat of a fondness for you and I to be interested in someone eating their own vomit, you say. Or you and I even returning to that vomit from time to time and eat that ourselves. That's the picture. That's the true picture of sin. Now, we've not done some small thing. If we sin, we've done a terrible thing, a horrible thing. We've done something that certainly is not seemly. You know, it's not seemly, it's not normal for us to shovel snow on the first day of August in South Shore, Kentucky. That's just not normal. So why, on the same token, is it normal for us to revert back to our sinful ways from time to time and involve ourselves in that? Why? Or why is it normal for us to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season while being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? It's just not seemly. Peter referred to this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and spoke a great deal about this thing of sin. And I believe as he spake of those who were not saved. He spake of the fool that's not saved. The fool that said that they were saved, but they're not saved. And that their actions prove that they weren't saved. Now you and I, it is inevitable that you and I are going to sin. I don't know about Connie, but I know the rest of us. You and I are not going to sin. And we're going to fail God. And only by the help of God and the new birth that God has given us will we escape the bondage of sin that Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter. I believe that Saul was talking about those who, primarily those who were not saved. Surely we can see ourselves in that because we know that we still sin. But primarily he was talking about those who, excuse me, knew not the Lord. And it was an enjoyable thing for them to slip back into that sin. Now, when we sin, it's not enjoyable, is it? God won't let us enjoy it when we sin. Because of the Holy Spirit that we have abiding in us, God will not allow us to enjoy it and to keep up with it. So there's a contrast then between the believer and the unbeliever as far as this goes. But in verse 8 it says, "For that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." He's talking about Lot living in Sodom. Now I mentioned the dog that eats its own vomit. Did you know you don't have to train a dog to do that? You don't have to entice a dog to do that. Well, that dog enjoys that. The first chance he gets, there he goes, and he does it. You know, without being pressured or anything else, he does it because he enjoys it, and that's the nature of a dog to do that. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his soul was vexed because of what was going on there. He didn't enjoy what was going on. He stayed there. That's true. But he didn't enjoy what was going on. He didn't participate in what was going on. He didn't encourage others to do what was going on. But it vexed his soul. His righteous soul. God's Spirit bearing witness with his Spirit that he was the Son of God. And he didn't want anything to do with that. But at the same time, he stayed. That's one of those unseemly things. Why are you here, Lot? Why are you staying, Lot? Get out! He did finally when the two angels came out and led him out of there. He and his wife, who only turned back to look at what was going on, the destruction, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. But you see that with the righteous soul, there is not that bondage that there is with the unbeliever as far as sin goes. Well, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to do that. Aren't you glad he knows how to do that? We sure don't do it. We sure have a trouble with it. But God knows how to deliver us. And he knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Wherein angels which are greater in power might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. See what we're talking about? The unbeliever living like a brute beast. Now, over and down in verse 22, that's borne out where it says, it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. Two brute beasts, that's all they were. That dog and that hog, just a brute beast. And there was nothing they could do about that. There was nothing that they could do to change themselves. They were content with the way they were. I've had dogs and I've had hogs both. And I'll tell you, they just do what animals do. Those old hogs we had, it seemed like they couldn't get dirty enough. And they'd go down there and then mix their food up with all that slop and all that was in the mire, just filthy. And you think to yourself, and that's what makes that hog so good. It's filthy. Filthy. The dog and the hog are filthy brute beasts, doing and enjoying what they do. The dog eating its own vomit and the hog wallowing in the mire. It's natural for the unsaved sinner to behave like a brute beast. It's natural. Sometimes we scratch our heads and we'll be thinking about someone and we'll say, why? Why in this world are they doing that? How can they do that? Well, I know that they've been taught better than that. I know I taught them. I know other people taught them. And I know people all over the world have been taught by somebody that you ought not do these things. But that doesn't stop. Because that's in their nature to do that. And they don't want to be any other way. You may think your dog might want to be like you, but I don't think he does. And I don't think pigs want to be like humans. They want to be like pigs. They love it. They enjoy it. And you could take a pig, pull him out of the mire. Sometimes people raise pigs and they take them to the county fair, you know, and they've got them all cleaned up and scrubbed up, and, you know, to where they don't even look like a pig anymore. But you take them home and you put them out in the lot, I guarantee you they're not going to tiptoe around and say, oh, I can't step in that mud. I'm going to get mud on myself. Oh, I can't lay down there. I've just been washed. I can't get... No, they love what they love. Sinners love sin, and they have no problem with sin. They enjoy sin. And even while they're committing sin, they're thinking about the next sin. That's who they are. And Peter and Solomon both bring this out. So like natural brute beasts that are made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. You know, I think we ought to preach against sin. Tell sinners that they're living in sin, and tell them about Jesus Christ who can take away their sin. But I don't think you and I ought to get mad at him. I don't think you and I ought to get mad at him. I don't think you and I ought to get so mad that we could never talk to a sinner. Why? Because we understand what they are. And we understand how much they love being what they are. We talk to people and tell them about Christ and invite them to church. And you know, year after year after year. And they say, oh, that's not going to come. They won't come. I don't know why they won't come. I know why they won't come. It's not in their nature to come. It's not around. It's not in their nature to be around those who have been washed and those who are clean and those who don't enjoy the same inhabitation that they do. We're different. We're separate from sinners, as Christ has made us, and they simply don't want anything to do with that. They'll even speak evil, it says, of those things that they don't understand. I don't want to go to church. I think God's prejudice. I don't want to go to church. I think all you people are hypocrites. They do on and on and on they go. Well, that's what they do. That's what they do. Oh, that God would open the eyes of those that you and I know and love and show them the saving truth of Jesus Christ. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves that they have with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Then you have those who come into the Lord's church. Maybe they'll stay a while. Maybe they'll stay a good while. Maybe they won't stay very long at all. But it all revolves around the fact that they're not saved and they've got that old nature that will not, cannot allow them to be happy and satisfied here. That's just a factor. Well, they ought to be happy. We did, look what we did for them, and look how we helped them, and look how we did this, and we did that, and we did this. It's that old nature. It doesn't matter what you do, and it doesn't matter how much you help somebody. They still are going to be like the dog and return to their vomit, or the hog to the wallowing in the mire. That's what people are. Now, I'm not telling you something new. You know that. And I know that. Sometimes we kind of forget that, don't we? We kind of forget that. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They can't cease from sin. That hog and that dog, they can't quit. Did you know that? They can't quit. It's just as easy for them to quit sinning as it is for a leopard to change his spots. You read that somewhere, didn't you? And it's just as easy for them to quit sinning as it is for a black man to make himself into a white man, or vice versa. I know Michael Jackson tried that, but I don't think he succeeded. But you can't change what you are. Only God can change. Only God can take a sinner and make him clean in the blood of the Lamb and keep him that way. A sinner can't do that. You have a lot of churches out here. That's what their main thrust is. You come in and we'll help you get washed up. We'll wash you there the first few times. We'll help you. And all you got to do is just keep yourself clean and everything will be all right. It can't be done. It can't be done. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Loved it. He loved the results of sin. Now the sheep, on the other hand, they don't love the results of the sin, do they? Oh, you take a sheep and put him in there with that hog, and that hog goes stomping around and flopping around and knocks that poor sheep down and gets him all dirty. That sheep don't like that. Not in a sheep nature to be dirty like a hog. It's not in our nature now, our new nature, to be like the old hog and like the old dog and do all these vile, filthy things. Well, there are wells without water. What's a well worth that doesn't have any water? Not worth anything, is it? What satisfaction can you get out of a well that has no water? None. You know, a dry well produces nothing but dirt. Well, they're dry wells. Clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Talking about these fools, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. So you got all these false preachers and all these false churches saying, come to our church and clean yourself up and everything will be all right. And they're lying to them. They're like a well that has no water. They're not offering anything. Certainly not offering life. You know, a thirsty man coming off the desert, if he came across a dry well, it wouldn't help anybody. You take a thirsty man, one whom God has made to thirst of the waters of life, and you give him a drink out of that well that has the water of life, well, he'll be satisfied and he'll live and he'll change. He'll change. God will change him. It says, verse 20, those that had been preached to, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who have heard some truths, those who have heard of the good ways of the Lord and have seemingly latched on to that for whatever reason, those, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So
So what good does it do to tell a hog to clean up and a dog to clean up and everything will be all right? Every sinner needs the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved because you're a sinner. Every sinner needs that. And if a sinner never believes that, they never, ever are going to overcome in this life. They always stand guilty before God. You take a lot of these people, you bring them into a church and you try to clean them up, and then they stay as long as they can stand it. And then they leave. Well, the Bible here says that most of the time they are worse off than they were. And they'll act worse than they did. And sin more than they did. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So, we see the futility of trying to change sinners. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't instruct them. And I'm not saying the Bible says you shouldn't do this or you should do this. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, from the time they're born, take our children and teach them the Word of God. I'm not saying any of those things. What I am saying is that our instruction will have no bearing on their souls except God save them. And He's the only one that can save them. And we're dealing with people who, quite frankly, just don't want to be saved. I remember my unsaved days. And I remember people telling me I need to be saved. And I don't want to be saved. I don't want that. Why I want that? You need to come to church. I don't want to go to church. Why would I want to go to church? Because my old Adamic soul, my nature, didn't want it. Just didn't want it. And you can tell sinners how much it's going to improve their lives, and you can tell sinners how much happier they'll be. You can tell them all kinds of things. But you may as well be talking to a dog standing in front of a puddle of vomit or a hog laying out in the mire somewhere. Convince them that they need to quit that and get out. Our nature is such. Our Adamic nature is such. No matter how much you hear of the goodness of God, it's still going to reject. But thank God for the hope that even with the chiefest of sinners, God can come through the preaching of the Word of God and the witness of His people and born people again in a moment's time and take that old brute nature out of them. and give him a new nature and a new heart. And isn't that our prayer? Isn't it our prayer that God do that? May God help us to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want church members? You got to be preachers of the gospel. You want the seats full? You got to be preachers of the gospel. So we just walk out here. Maybe, oh, pigs, you ought to clean up out here. That's not going to do any good, is it? That's not going to do any good. Preaching the gospel will save sinners and fill churches if it pleases God. May God help us to believe and practice his word. Roger, you want to pray? Oh, you want to pray for us again?